Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He is Steve Pavlik. Steve, it's finally here, our long national nightmare, the college football offseason. It's finally done.
We've waited long enough.
Yes. We have. It's finally game week. We get to talk about the upcoming game. Can't wait for it this Saturday at noon at West Virginia. You know it's going to be a fired up West Virginia Mountaineer team and crowd. First of all, I think Penn State's fortunate that it's scheduled for a noon game as opposed to a night game down there. That place would be going bonkers if this were a night game.
I agree. I think Penn State lucked out here with a noon kickoff for once.
Yes, this time we'll take the Fox noon game, big noon game, as an advantage to Penn State. So now it's a road game. I don't typically go to the road games. I'm there for the pretty much all of the home games. So describe for me, first of all, what it'll be like in the Pavlik household for this game. You have two little ones, I know. So how do you arrange to make sure you get to pay attention to the game? Or is that just a pipe dream?
Well, it's interesting you bring it up. So my dad is actually going to the game with a friend of his. So I'm going to be relying on him to give me that in-person experience in that game day atmosphere there. He's pretty excited about it. And I mentioned before, he grew up in Johnstown, and as a longtime Penn State fan, he is familiar with what used to be a pretty, I don't know if you could call it a rivalry, given how dominant Penn State was, but they did play annually a lot. So I think he's excited to get there in the atmosphere. But as to how to watch the game, it's interesting. And what you learn is you have a lot of backups. So I always record the game just because I don't know what's going to happen with either of my boys. We're also planning on coming back on Friday from South Carolina, which is where we currently are. But, you know, there's a good chance that they're not going to cooperate. And at some point, we're going to have to stop somewhere. So I'm hoping to be able to make it back in time to watch it live. But if I have to watch it by recording it, as long as I don't check my phone, which is a big if, then I actually prefer that because I can sort of fast forward through some of the commercials and sometimes the other team scores, which I don't like, but I can sort of go ahead and fast forward that after they do it. So I don't have to watch their celebration or the extra point.
Well, I'll tell you what, then. The lesson learned for Jim, I will not be texting you during the game.
Please don't.
With a whole bunch of exclamation marks or celebration in the text. So I won't be doing that. And fortunately, or perhaps unfortunately, Steve, I'm old enough to remember when, yes, it was a rivalry with West Virginia. You know, you had all the regional teams. You had Pitt. You had West Virginia. You had Syracuse, even BC, Rutgers. These were all considered rivalry games. And what was nice then, with the situation like it is for West Virginia, it was drivable to get to those games on the road, which doesn't happen too often anymore in the Big Ten for Penn State.
Yeah, that's one of the downsides, I think, to all this college expansion, in that, you know, it's just not practical for many people to fly out to watch Penn State play at USC and some of these other locations now. And I guess one thing I'm optimistic potentially for is if it continues to expand, maybe in some way we'll get back to this regional model, because at some point these conferences are going to be so big, maybe they'll just start playing, schools that are, you know, more closely aligned in terms of the region. But we'll see how that pans out over time.
Well, if we could get more of that, that would be great. And even just, yes, along the East Coast, where it's easier to drive and get to places. And especially, as you could witness, is there's a lot of Penn State alums going down the East Coast. You're outside of D.C., right? So if you get kind of down, if you get the Maryland's and maybe North Carolina's, Virginia Tech, Penn State still has so much representation going down that way.
Driving to and from games at Beaver Stadium on Saturday, you are amazed at the number of cars you just see with the Penn State paraphernalia all the way up from Northern Virginia where I used to live, Maryland, where I am now. It's the same route. But there's definitely a very strong alumni base here in the D.C. area.
Definitely there is. So I know when Penn State plays at Maryland, there's always such great representation. And it's interesting, this West Virginia game, how many people I've talked to, and again, it's a random sampling, not a huge sampling, but I've gotten, I don't know how many people, 5, 6, 7, 8 people have asked me if I'm going because they're going to the game. So I'm really wondering how much of a Penn State crowd there might be there.
Well, if you look at the schedule, if you live near State College, this is one of the few opportunities you have to go watch a team play on the road this year that's actually reasonably within driving distance. I know the Maryland game's actually at Penn State this year, the last game of the year, if I'm not mistaken. None of the other games are really that close. So it wouldn't surprise me if Penn State has a good turnout there. If I had to ballpark it, I'm thinking maybe 30-35%. It's interesting, when I go to the games at Maryland, it feels more like a bowl game, actually. Usually the crowd's about, I'd say, 50-50.
Yes. And the only thing on this one is I wonder how easy it is to get a ticket. And I saw, well, you know, a lot of people, I think, planned well ahead of time. But I saw a recent article where sometimes they'll put out what is the current cost for a ticket to the games during, you know, a specific weekend. And I think this one specifically was the highest priced ticket for this weekend.
I saw a similar article, and you think about a lot of the other great matchups that are occurring this weekend. I think it sort of speaks to that desire to maybe renew the interest in these rivalries from yesteryear. And, you know, again, to have people that can drive to a game that shouldn't be, I guess, you know, discounted. People also, I think, on the teams, the fact that, you know, you still have a lot of folks on Penn State's roster, West Virginia's roster, I think that sort of grew up at least maybe playing with each other, playing against one another. I think that sort of adds to the competitive environment. You know, you obviously want to beat a lot of the guys that you grew up playing against or with. And, you know, I don't know that you always get that sometimes when you're playing these cross-country games.
And let's kind of use that as a segue to get into the game. And you're talking about, I think for West Virginia, this might be their biggest game of the year. I know it's out of conference, but for them to, you know, have that dream of being a playoff team, this is where it would start. A win over Penn State, and I think West Virginia starts legitimately thinking, hey, we could be good enough to make the playoffs and maybe even win our own conference. So for West Virginia, this is a huge game.
I agree. It's their more or less regular season Super Bowl. And the fact that they're getting Penn State at the very first game, I think, bodes well for them. When you think about the recruiting advantage that Penn State has, just in terms of the depth of the talent, that tends to be more of an advantage as you get later in the season because injuries happen. And I think the better programs, it's that next man up, and they don't usually have much of a drop-off. Think about that guys at Alabama and Ohio State in particular. Usually that guy right behind you may be just as good, if not better. For one reason, the coach decided to play somebody over the other. I think you see more of a disparity when you start going down the talent rankings in terms of the recruiting rankings. And so I think where I'm going is West Virginia is going to give Penn State its best foot forward. They're going to have their, you know, all their starters ready to play. And yeah, it's going to be an electric atmosphere.
I think so. I hadn't thought about that as far as a depth issue. My feeling on, and I think that's very legitimate, and I just hadn't thought about it. I think a big part of it, and I brought this up, I know in prior years when they played Purdue in the opener on the road, played Wisconsin in the opener on the road, Penn State definitely was the more talented team in those two situations. But you have a couple things that occur with the opener. As I say, Purdue and Wisconsin came into that opener undefeated, just like West Virginia does here. So if you ever have that dream, this is it in the first game. That, you know, the bubble hasn't been burst yet. So all of that confidence and optimism, and you just need to throw out there that, hey, it's that West Virginia, Penn State. West Virginia competes against Penn State for a lot of recruits. The other thing that I've seen in researching things from the West Virginia side here, Steve, is they seem to have a little bit of a chip on their shoulder over how Penn State scored a late touchdown last year, which helped them cover the spread.
Well, my retort to that would be it's your job to keep them out of the end zone. So I would blame nobody but yourself.
Well, as somebody who occasionally, Steve, puts a couple dollars on these games, I was very happy to see them do that, get that extra touchdown. But the risk you run is that it does create this chip on the shoulder. I don't know if that's enough to make, you know, a team play better. Do they have a little bit more going for them? But I think if I were a national pundit, you know, looking at different games, trying to find an upset special during the week, it feels like all those things are in line for West Virginia this week.
Honestly, I sort of get where the narrative's going. I think where the narrative is maybe separate from reality is there's always in the movies a lot of emphasis played on these locker room speeches and, you know, oh, these guys did this to us last year. I mean, honestly, once you get into the game after a few plays, a lot of those emotions usually dissipate. And I think it comes down to who's really prepared to execute and play. And it's a lot easier to do that in your home environment. And we think mentioned before, maybe we'll talk about it in a future segment, just the fact that Penn State has three new coordinators now working together. And we're going to see, you know, that's another added obstacle that I think Penn State has this time that I don't know that they always had when they were going into their previous difficult road environments to open the season.
Yes, that's valid. That and that may be the bigger issue, and we will hit on that. But it's still for West Virginia, I think in terms of like a whiteout environment for Penn State, you do things, and if you do something good early, especially, like remember the Michigan whiteout game where before Michigan could even get a snap off, there was the penalty against them, which just got the crowd to a whole nother level. And I think if I'm West Virginia, I'm saying to myself, how could I, if I've got some trick up my sleeve, if I've got something, I'm going to pull it out of the bag early because I want to get the crowd going crazy.
Well, I think that's right. I think Penn State needs to be aware of that, try to take the crowd out early. I mean, how the Penn State's going to start, I think it's going to go a long way in determining whether or not the game is going to be a comfortable game for Penn State. And perhaps people like you put a few dollars on this, cover the spread. Or if we're going to be in a situation where it's another nail biter, where you sort of give the team maybe false confidence that, hey, they can compete with these people with us. And to your point, at least if Penn State starts on defense, you got to watch that long short trick play early on.
Exactly. All right. That is it for quarter number one. We're going to get deeper into the actual teams when we come back in quarter two.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, general manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante along with Steve Pavlik. We are talking about the opener at West Virginia on Saturday at noon. And Steve, this is me being an old man and getting forgetful. We started this, I was asking you how you're going to go about watching the game, and you mentioned you have the little one. Did I ask you how old your little ones were? I think our audience needs to understand what young ones actually means.
My oldest son just turned 3 a couple weekends ago, and my youngest just turned 1 in July. So that's what I'm dealing with. The best advice that I think people gave me was that the days are long, but the years are short. And it's only been 3 years at this point, but it definitely feels that way.
Well, I don't have the kids for that experience, but I just go by my nephews and nieces. I turned around and they're 30 years old, Steve, and I'm now talking about their little one. So it does. That's a great way to put it. The years do go fast. Let's talk about this game itself. First of all, it is a little bit unique in that Penn State is playing on the road, a Power Four team. I mean, first of all, yes, there have been those couple games, and blame it on the Big Ten that they've had to play their openers on the road. But here's a situation where the setup is it's an out-of-conference game, and they're playing a Power Four team on the road. Good strategy for Penn State? Shaky strategy? Scary?
I mean, at this point, it is what it is. You just got to deal with what's in front of you. I think there are a couple of things that are unique to this and the fact that, one, they already played each other last year, so there's some relative familiarity there. I think also the fact that Kotelnik, I believe, came from the Big 12 and played against West Virginia, so he has some familiarity with them, and they have some West Virginia obviously has some experience with Kotelnicki as well. I think a couple of years ago, if I'm not mistaken, Kansas put up a significant number of points against West Virginia's defense. So it'll be interesting to see sort of that chess match on the other side. And you know, as a fan, I'm really excited to see what Kotelnicki is able to do now that it presumably has some more talent to work with here at Penn State. What are those adjustments going to look like early on? But, you know, I think the fact that he has some familiarity in this particular case with West Virginia, I think is an asset. Where I'm a little concerned moving into the rest of the season is the Big Ten defenses aren't like the Big 12 defenses. And so I'm not sure what adjustment that's going to be like for him. But I think early on, just the fact that he's played and familiar with West Virginia, I think is a good thing for Penn State.
Well, yes. And first of all, when you make the comment that in a Big 12 game between Kansas and West Virginia, Kansas put up a lot of points, Steve, it's a Big 12 game. I think that it almost goes without saying that they'll put up a lot of points. But yeah, that's valid. Well, Andy Kotelnicki has seen this defense before.
Well, you know, as a Penn State fan that suffered through the last couple of seasons, I'd be all for Penn State putting up a lot of points, particularly in some of these big games. But again, I think if you can get an early start right off the bat, if you're Penn State, to get some, particularly a couple early scores, that will go a long way to putting Penn State, I think, in the driver's seat for this game.
And, you know, I'm going to say one of the dumbest things I've ever said, okay? And I've been doing this show for 8 years, Steve, and have said a lot of dumb things. So to be towards the top, you know how dumb it is. This scheduling, you know, a road game against a Power Four team, it's a real good decision if you win the game. Not so good a decision if you were to lose. So to get past that very dumb statement, what I do like about it is having an early game, though. You're not playing Alabama. You're not playing Georgia. You're not playing that level of team, but you're not playing a pushover. You're playing a decent team so that, you know, you can't just show up and win the game. You've got to actually show up and play. So in that way, you know, barring the upset, I think there's some real advantages to scheduling this kind of game as your first game.
Why not do it? I mean, it should be a greater focus and point of emphasis during the summer workout sessions, just to know the fact that you're going up against a real competitor as opposed to sort of a cupcake. I think also as fans, you know, the fact that we're going up against some legitimate competition right off the bat, I think it's going to give you a better assessment as to how much development we've seen or maybe not seen in the offseason for some of these guys, as opposed to these early games, usually against the MAC and lesser opponents.
Yes, it's, I wish more of this would go on. We do have some good games coming up this weekend, but it's literally a handful of them. You know, I'd like to see more of these Power Four games against each other, and it's still a little bit funny saying Power Four. You alluded to this in the first segment, Steve, about one of the issues that Penn State, this might be the biggest issue and my biggest concern, is it is a couple of new coordinators. And yeah, I'm setting special teams new coordinator to the side, Steve. It's not me saying that that's kicking games not important and coverage and all that, but I'm setting that to the side. Let's talk about the offensive and defensive coordinators. Now, every special teams guy in the world is going to get mad at me for saying that. But anyway, if I have a concern in this game, it is that you have a couple new coordinators. And you have all the concerns that come along with that, the new guy on in charge on each side of the ball. And you also have the new rule where the communication through the helmet. Any of that concern you going into this game?
Well, it's definitely a different environment in terms of the communication through the helmet as opposed to a practice. So I'm hoping we're not going to experience a communication breakdown, because if that happens, particularly in the secondary, you're likely to give up a touchdown, and that's not a good situation. In terms of being able to communicate plays into the offense and the defense respectively, this should make it easier for the coordinators. One of the concerns I have is that they just these adjustments. You've seen it now where the offense comes out in the play and then the defense sort of adjusts and the offense adjusts to that adjustment. I mean, at some point, you just got to line up and play. And so I just worry, again, is that going to sort of contribute to this communication concern where the linebacker is late getting the call out to the defense, or the quarterback isn't able to communicate the proper change to everybody. One of the receivers runs the wrong route. But again, that's not going to be unique to Penn State in terms of the headset. Again, getting these new coordinators, I'm more concerned as to on the offensive side, you know, what is that chain of command? You know, is Kotelnicki the one sort of signaling the plays in directly? Is he sort of taking some consultation there with Franklin? That's sort of what I'm looking to see, how that's going to work.
The line of command, and you'd like to think, and this isn't me doing the, well, you know, Franklin interferes too much on the offense, which is a statement you hear from a lot of people. Perhaps you have even said that, but I do think that Kotelnicki will be the guy calling the plays. The head coach always has the option to say, hey, we're doing a little too much of this, a little too much of that. I'd like to see something else go on. But I do think it'll be, you know, Kotelnicki. And I do believe Franklin is the kind of guy, he has great organization skills, I think, where he will put a plan out for this. So I'm not too concerned about that. But it, again, adding the other variable of a new coordinator, I think that has to be part of the discussion. But then it leads to, Steve, with these coordinators, is what we then actually see on the field. Okay. And we've been talking about Kotelnicki. Let's stay there. What first game, what is it you're hoping to see from him? What differences are you looking for?
I'd like to see them establish the run early on, because I think that's going to sort of, if you could do that, maybe that'll open up the passing game. I think it's going to be hard if Penn State falls behind early and sort of forced to pass. That's sort of my fear. But again, if you can sort of establish the run, that's only going to help you the longer the game goes on. I think what we're really looking to see too is how he's able to scheme guys open. I think there's still a lot of questions remaining at wide receiver. It'd be great if we got some answers to that maybe this weekend. But you know, if not, it'd be up to Kotelnicki to, again, find ways to get these guys open. Now, this should be foreign to him. He probably had to do this at Kansas, and he had to do this at Buffalo. So, you know, we'll see whether or not he can deliver on that. And then I would say adjustment. You know, you come in with the greatest plan. As Mike Tyson said, everybody's got a plan until they get hit in the mouth. You know, that could happen too, where, you know, you spend all week trying to come up with something that you thought was going to work. Then West Virginia makes some adjustments. Can Penn State go ahead and make adjustments to that? That's something where, candidly, I think they were lacking under Yursich and probably Shiraka before then. So that's sort of what I want to see. And that's what I think one of the benefits of getting this early test is, we're going to get a better sense of Kotelnicki very early on.
And, you know, first of all, Steve, anytime I get a Mike Tyson quote on our show, I'm a happy camper. And you picked out my favorite Mike Tyson quote. You know, everything's great till you get punched in the face. And that is the case. And that ability to adjust might be one of the most important things with the offensive coordinator. My take on what I'd like to see is, I fear that something that happened last year will continue to happen, which is the starting point for Penn State's offense has got to be those two running backs, you know, Nick Singleton, Catron Allen. You got to feel like, you know, that's something they could hang their hat on. And if I'm an opposing defense, I'm thinking that's my starting point. I want to stop those guys and force Aller to beat me through the air. Okay. With that in mind, and again, this is something I've said probably 1,000 times, I feel, though, the best time to throw the ball is on first down. I want to see, you know, him be able to throw the ball when West Virginia is saying we're going to stop the run. And I say this all the time. I want to see a play action pass on first down in the first possession. Just say to West Virginia, we're breaking the mold.
Well, I've come back with a Woody Hayes quote that said, three things happen when you throw the ball, and only one of them is good, which may explain why teams often decide not to throw the ball on first down. But look, to be able to mix it up, I think, again, that's what we're sort of – some creativity in the play calling. I think that's something that's Penn State fans that suffered through the offensive performances last year, at least in the bigger contest. I think that's something we're all looking to Kotelniki to provide for us this year.
I agree with that, is that creativity. And I feel that part of this, especially the first game nerves, that concerns me with Drew Aller. I want to see a confident Drew Aller. And I'm wondering if I could scheme, you know, a first down in the first possession play, I want him to be one for one, even if it's one for one for a total of 5 yards. Okay. I think that would help his cause and help him create a bit more confidence. So we're going to continue this conversation, Steve. We are already through quarter number two. When we come back, quarter number three, we're going to talk a little bit about West Virginia's offense. We'll do that when we come back.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Steve, I'm Jim. We're talking Penn State football. We're talking about the Penn State football opener coming up this Saturday at West Virginia at noon. It's the Fox Big Noon game. Can't wait for it. We're all excited about it. Well, West Virginia is also very excited about it, Steve. And they're coming off a 9-4 season. A year ago, going into the season, their coach, Neil Brown, he was on the hot seat, okay? He essentially was coaching for his job last year. And by the end of the season, they were 9-4. They won 5 of their last 6 games. They won a bowl game. Is this reason enough for them to have belief? I think the biggest piece of it for them is the returning quarterback who's able to run the ball. That would scare me a bit if I'm Penn State.
That, and he had success against Penn State's defense last year until they fell behind. And so that's what I want to see this year that I didn't see last year, and I alluded to it, I think, in another episode, is somebody to spy the quarterback. You have these athletic linebackers and safeties. We talked about the switch to the 4-2-5. I think there should be somebody there to prevent him from just taking the ball, tucking the ball and running it. And you know, I think early on, you still have to take away the run. Make that guy beat you passing, but don't let him run around, buy time, and those receivers can sort of slip behind you and get open. Really important to, I think, establish early on, get a few 3-and-outs. Again, because Penn State's clearest path to victory, I think, is getting up on West Virginia early. And you saw that's what happened last year. It took a little while, but once Penn State sort of pulled away, West Virginia wasn't built to throw on that team. And I still don't think they are.
I agree with that. And looking at the numbers from last year, pretty interesting. Garrett Green is the name of the quarterback, very mobile. He threw for 2,400 yards. Didn't complete over 60% of his passes. So, you know, that's part of it. He's not the greatest throwing quarterback, but he ran for 772 yards, and they have two returning running backs. One of them, C.J. Donaldson, who ran for 798 yards, and Jaheim White, who ran for 842 yards. That's a lot of firepower in the rushing game. should we expect West Virginia to say, you know what, we're going to shorten this game, we're going to keep the ball on the ground, we're going to try to just accumulate first downs and keep Penn State's offense off the field?
Well, I would point out, too, a lot of those yards were up against Big 12 defenses, so you can draw your own conclusion as to, you know, how they will fare moving forward. I would feel a little more confident in Penn State's defense than I would in most of those Big 12 defenses played last year. That said, if West Virginia gets up early, then, yeah, I think they will probably try to run the clock out. And particularly if Penn State's offense isn't clicking that day, that might be a good strategy. So remember a few years ago when Pitt played Penn State, I believe it was 2017 at Penn State, Narduzzi sort of came in there recognizing that that was a very good Penn State team. His strategy was literally to try to deprive Penn State of the ball by more or less running it and holding onto it at the last second to not let the game get out of hand. I think Brown and West Virginia are confident based on the success that they had last year. As you mentioned, they have a good quarterback. There's reason for optimism. And they're going to try to play to win. So I don't really see them coming out and trying to necessarily just run out the clock to start the game. I think they're going to be aggressive, take some shots early. You know, as you said, they don't really have anything to lose. This is their Super Bowl, where the opposite is true for Penn State. You know, they really don't have anything to gain by beating a team that they're supposed to beat. However, if they lose and you get into concerns about what does it mean for your playoff chances in the rest of your season.
Yes, I think you're right. This Penn State has everything to lose. And I've made this statement that some folks didn't like was, I think Penn State loses to West Virginia, they're out of the playoff hunt. Okay.
Unless West Virginia goes on to win the Big 12 and Penn State's only other loss is maybe a more competitive game to Ohio State. I could see a scenario for that. I'm not saying it's probable. I'm saying it's possible.
And yes, and I think one of the things with Penn State is if they have two losses, I think two losses is going to turn into a tiebreaker to make the playoffs. And I think a loss to West Virginia, you know, that's the big stretch is, could, you know, would they win the Big 12? You know, I don't know. I think the West Virginia, or I'm sorry, the Big 12 is just up for grabs with several people, you know, contending. I think they're all going to beat each other up. But going back to this game individually, you know, we're talking about the West Virginia offense and what we might expect from them. Let's talk about Penn State's defense and what they need to do to stop them. And remember, new defensive coordinator, that's Tom Allen. He's going in playing a West Virginia team, not the gimme, not a MAC team, not the walkover. What's your expectation level from Tom Allen? What do you think we're going to see from him?
The only slight concern I have is, you know, Allen's been head coach for a while. Is he a little rusty getting back into calling the defensive plays? You know, obviously Diaz was very successful in doing that. I still think being head coach and coming back to sort of your bread and butter is going to be an asset in terms of Allen. But I'm sort of confident in his ability. I think he was a good hire. We'll see how the season plays out, whether I'm right in that that view. But I think you got to take away the run. Make Green, the quarterback, beat you throwing. And you can't let him get outside. I think that's what we talked about, you know, with Abdul Carter moving to defensive end. That's a new position for him. You know, you can't lose contain. And can he come under control? And if he doesn't, it could be a long day because just buying that extra time, forcing those safeties and linebackers to step up, that's just going to open those wide receivers. And that's sort of an outstanding concern I have.
You know, you remind me of this when you talked about having a spy on the quarterback. Is there were times where Abdul Carter as a linebacker was the spy, and he was very good at it. As you know, you talked about the he gets flushed out of the pocket and makes a big run. Abdul Carter seemed to be very good at spying and knowing just when to attack. Where I'm heading with this is some of the conversation was, yeah, Abdul Carter's a defensive end now, but we're going to be moving him around a bit. He might be playing linebacker in some plays, and depending on who we're playing against, might this be a possibility to install Abdul Carter as a spy?
I'm assuming Carter had to gain some weight to play defensive end, so I'm not sure if he kept his speed or not. I guess where I was sort of thinking is Tony Rojas. There's been a lot of optimism for him, and he's a D.C. area player, so maybe I'm a little biased, but I think everything I've read about camp and him being a former running back here, leads him to believe maybe he's the one to do this. But I like the idea of moving Carter around creatively, sometimes dropping him, you know, back in the coverage, maybe moving him around the linebacker to maybe rush the passer from different areas on the field. If nothing else, it's just something to put on tape that other teams are going to have to prepare for. I know we're talking about defense, but it's another reason I like candidly putting Prabula out there in some scripted settings, because if nothing else, that's going to make the other team's defense prepare for that. And they only have limited time to do those preparations during the week.
Yes. And that's always, you know, an adjustment. And I found it really fascinating last year, sometimes when Bo Prabula came in, you knew he was going to run the ball. We knew it. You knew it. I knew it. Didn't seem like the defenses knew it. They seemed to be shocked and surprised by it. Hey, here's number nine. Guess what? He's going to run the ball.
Yeah, well, you know, to be fair to them, I remember sort of when Trace McSorley came in relief of Christian Hackenberg in that bowl game against Georgia a few years ago, and you spent all week preparing for a traditional pocket passer, and somebody comes in and you haven't really been thinking about it that week, that will throw you off. And again, that's why I think it's important to get Prabula some meaningful snaps. And to what you're saying is, don't just be a battering ram the way they used to use Will Levis. Throw the ball a couple times, okay? Because if teams are all selling out to stop you, somebody's going to be wide open.
Exactly. And that's where, you know, my other thing, and again, it's something I bring up over and over again, and I think James Franklin even alluded to it, is Bo Prabula, to your point, can't just come in and run the ball every time. Drew Aller, if you're going to run plays that give the quarterback the option to run the ball, let him run the ball. I know he's not, and the argument I always get opposing it is, who would you rather have run the ball, Nick Singleton or Drew Aller? Obviously, Nick Singleton. But if every time you run that option, read option, you give it to Nick Singleton every single time, guess what? The defense is going to know that too.
It's not an option if you don't hand it, if you don't sometimes keep the ball. And that's what, unfortunately, teams were keying on last year. Everybody's crashing. Those ends are always crashing on the running backs. And that's a concern I have. You look at Kotelnicki's track record. Most of the quarterbacks he had success with resembled more the Prabula type than the Aller type. Doesn't mean he won't have success with Aller. That just means sort of an outstanding concern or question mark heading into the season.
I've had some folks who've, you know, scout better than I do and spend more time at it, looked at it and said, you know, over the years, Andy Kotelnicki has had different kinds of quarterbacks and has adapted and adjusted the offense to them. And obviously, you know, we saw from Kansas where he had two quarterbacks with two different styles, and he found ways to get them both on the field and take advantage of each of their skill sets. That's what I'm hopeful to see, and I'm hoping to see it in creative ways. To your point, though, a lot of this is you can't have Drew Aller never run the ball, and you can't have Bo Prabula always run the ball.
Correct.
And or else, you know, you're just indicating to the defense what is coming. That is it. Let's talk a little bit back on the Penn State offense and what the expectation is. You know, you talked about establishing the run, and that gives you the opportunity to pass the ball, which is a good point. How much do you want to see, say, Catron Allen and Nick Singleton part of the passing game?
I'd love to see that. I think that's a great way, particularly Singleton, to get him out in space. I think, too, if teams are going to sort of start blitzing you or selling out on the run, that's a way to get him to loosen up. And there's always one of the great things about football. It's sort of like chess, and every move has a move to counter it. I think if you really appreciate the game and sort of that strategic aspect as to what's going on there from the coaches and different coordinators, to me, that is part of the joy of the game. And I think you play to your strengths. And your strength is getting a player like Singleton the ball in open space.
I'm with you, and I kind of probably saying the same thing, but in a different way. I look at it as you've got weapons, okay, on offense. This team has weapons, and Nick Singleton is one of them. Catron Allen's another one. This guy we still don't seem to talk enough about, Tyler Warren, the tight end. That's a weapon. And, you know, it's the question becomes, how can I get the ball, you know, to my weapons? And I think there's it seems like just reading the quotes that come out of a camp, they feel Bo Prabula is a weapon. You know, so it's, okay, how can we make use of that weapon? We're going to talk about that more when we come back after this break.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Steve, I'm Jim. We're talking about Penn State's opener against West Virginia this week. I think the one thing we can definitely agree on, we're excited to have college football back. And, you know, I talked about a little bit, fear's too strong a word, but, you know, the cautionary note, playing a decent team on the road in your opening game. But the fact is, as a fan, Steve, that I don't want them playing podunk. I want them playing at least a respectable team, and that's what we're getting this week with West Virginia.
Absolutely. I mean, these are the games you're excited for. I mean, you're not excited for the MAC games.
Exactly it. We're not going to be as excited for Bowling Green as we are for this game, and there's no doubt West Virginia's crowd will be up for it. We talked about it earlier. I think Penn State's going to get a pretty good crowd showing up. And, you know, I expressed some concern about the new coordinators, and I think that's a bit of just my, okay, looking for what could go wrong. Can there be issues there? The fact is, though, Penn State is just the vastly superior team here. They should not lose this game, and it really shouldn't be a nail-biter, should it?
It shouldn't, but again, that's why you play the game. And if you go back, Franklin's track record over 10 years, there have been a lot of games he shouldn't have lost that he lost. So I don't put anything past him. But they should be prepared, and I think there's reason for hope. And I think you were talking the last segment about, you know, what can you sort of creative things to increase your chances at winning in terms of utilizing your weapons. And I think that's what I really want to see. Going back to Dakota, Nikki, can you use Prabula and can you use him effectively? To me, that means around the goal line, which is Tyler Warren. You have a guy who's 6'4", play basketball, can jump up and get the ball. Maybe you ought to throw that guy the ball down there around the goal line. I mean, play to your strengths.
And those are the strengths. Tyler Warren, Nick Singleton, Katron Allen. But you still got to make use of your wide receivers. And we've talked and talked and talked all offseason about this Penn State wide receiver group. I think the fact that you have those other weapons that I talked about is important, but you still need to get something out of the wide receivers. We've heard, you know, talk in camp. I think we're getting that Trey Wallace and Liam Clifford are separating themselves. Let me ask you, what is it you're looking for to see from the wide receivers?
I'm less interested in them separating themselves at camp and more interested whether they get separation on game day. That was a big problem last year. I mean, defensive Aller, it's tough to throw to guys who aren't open. And can those guys get open? I know Wallace has had health issues just in terms of being able to stay on the field. You know, Clifford, he had some sparks at times coming out of the slot, which should be able to get open in that position towards the end of the year last year. So maybe he can build on that. What I haven't heard much about, I don't know if it's deliberate by Franklin or whether or not reading too much into this, is Julian Fleming. Again, he was the 3 or 4 receiver at Ohio State, so maybe there's reasons for that. But, you know, when you listen to a lot of the Ohio State shows, and maybe they're just sort of bitter about a guy who left the program sort of returning home to Penn State, that's one way of looking at it. But another way of looking at it that they keep harping on is that his biggest asset was being a run blocker, which is sort of damning through faint praise. But, you know, that said, we have good running backs. I wouldn't mind having some receivers that could block and maybe able to break a big run. So like everybody else, I have a lot of questions about wide receiver. I'd like to get more answers that are positive on Saturday. And I'm hoping we're going to get some of those.
Well, you hit on the thing, you know, the separation. Separation is an issue and drops are an issue. I didn't realize this until last week, Steve, reading this, that Penn State was among the leaders and in drop passes. Someone, you know, that when they accumulate the numbers, they came up with 28 drops for Penn State, which puts them in the, you know, bottom 3, 4, 5 in college football. So that's the other thing. Catch the ball, okay? Just catch the ball.
Yeah, that goes a long way. And it'd be great if once you caught it, then you could do something after you catch it. I haven't really seen that the past few years. Maybe I have to go back to Jahan Dotson, where I felt confident that, okay, now we got playmaker the ball. Maybe he'll do something with it. I'm still hopeful that we have somebody like that on the team, but I'd rather more assured. And hopefully, maybe we'll get that assurance on Saturday.
And that's where I think Trey Wallace can be that guy who could be the number one receiver. I think he's the one with the physical skills to accomplish that. We shall see. All right, Steve, we've got the last half of the fourth quarter for this. This is, you know, tradition on our show. With everybody we do this, we always have to get to our predictions. But we don't just want a prediction. Now, the spread on this game, I've seen anywhere from like 8.5 to 10 points. Somewhere in there. Let's go with 8.5 points. So need a prediction with the spread. Okay. Then we need a bold prediction. All right. And I think I made you aware of that. If you want to do a couple bold ones, that's okay too. Okay. We love our bold predictions. And the final thing, see, and I'm hitting, I told you about those things ahead of the show. What I didn't tell you, I was going to hit you with this one also. I need a prediction for the first play from scrimmage, okay? Those are the things that I'm looking for, and you could start wherever you like.
In terms of the game prediction, I'm going to go with Penn State 24, West Virginia 20. I think it's going to be closer than it should be, so that's probably not covering the spread. I hope I'm wrong for those of you out there with money on the game. In terms of a bold prediction, I think I'm going to go with Aller throwing an interception. I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. Usually an interception is bad, don't get me wrong. But I thought last year he was overly cautious. I'd like to see him be less so this year. I think that might be a good thing. Another bold prediction, I'm going to have Prabula rushing in for a touchdown. Maybe that's just optimistic thinking about to will that into existence. But I'd like to see him utilized down there around the goal line.
You know, what's a couple interesting things, and I'm gonna try to spin your bold.
Sorry, and the last one I forgot is the first play from scrimmage. That was the one that you didn't mention to me. Again, I'm gonna go optimistic, channel my inner Jim Galante here, and go with play action deep to first play.
Okay, I like that. here's what's interesting is your bold prediction for Drew Aller to throw an interception. I'll say the same thing, but I think I'll spin it a little better. How about Drew Aller takes a few more risks than he did before, and put it that way. And I'll even combine that with your initial, you know, when you talk play action pass and going deep. I'm not sure I need them to go deep, but on the first play, but I want to see them go deep, even if they don't complete it, Steve. Show that you're willing to do it. Show that you're willing to air it out with a kid with that kind of arm.
Well, they did last year, and they got a touchdown. If I recall correctly, that was a deep one to Keandre Lambert-Smith early in the game.
And that's, yes. And that's
which opened everything else up. I mean, that was huge to get a lead early on like that.
Yes, and if you do those things, it's not just about, you know, do you complete the pass? Do you get a big play right off the bat with that? It's also saying, you know what? I'm stretching the field. You're going to have to cover the whole field. And I just got the feeling last year, what we saw was defenses saying both, we're going to stop the run and we're stacking the line of scrimmage because you're not trying to throw the ball over our head. So we could come up. We're not afraid of your wide receivers beating us deep.
Well, now that you have Wallace healthy, I think that'd be an ideal first play, is let those West Virginia guys get a taste of his speed the very first time. Because that's one thing you can't really simulate in practice. You can try, but if West Virginia doesn't have somebody who can run as fast and jump as high as Wallace, which they may not, that might catch those guys sleeping, particularly if it's play action. They've sort of been anticipating the run all these weeks leading up to this game.
And, you know, that's I think that's it. And I almost want to look at it like, if we're going to take test deep, look around. Is there somebody on the West Virginia defense that you're looking to pick on? Okay. So if I have Omari Evans with some pretty good speed, and I have Trey Wallace with some pretty good speed, and, you know, who else do I have that, you know, I say has the speed? Could I spread out the West Virginia defense and say, you know what? This is the guy I'm going to target. Whoever he's going to try to cover, that's where I think is my best matchup. And, you know, that's what I would like to see. And just to make West Virginia say, look, not just West Virginia, but whoever watches this tape, you know, has to say, you know what? I can't just stack the line. But and so your bold prediction for the interception, I'm not sure how bold it is. I think we are going to see Drew Aller take more chances. I think the mindset will change. If you remember a year ago at this time, James Franklin was talking about, gee, I don't think Drew Aller has thrown an interception in 3 weeks of practice.
Yeah, that I never liked that comment. I don't know if people misinterpreted that. Look, to be fair to Aller, he may throw an interception through no fault of his own. It's the first game. There's a good chance that the receiver is going to read a route differently than he does. I'm just saying that wouldn't surprise me if that happens. But to your point, I want to see him take more risk this year. I think if he does that, the team will be more successful offensively.
I think that's the way to put it. I'm going to counter with my first play. You said play action pass, throw it deep. I wouldn't be upset if they did that, but how about this? How about play action and we get Nick Singleton out of the backfield with a matchup? Is a linebacker going to cover him? And not just as a safety valve, maybe a wheel route. Maybe it's Catron Allen is in the backfield with him. I fake it to Catron Allen and I got Nick Singleton, you know, with a bit of a wheel route out of the backfield. You know, if their best defenders, pass defenders, are covering my receivers, I kind of like a Nick Singleton matchup there. What do you think?
I do. I mean, look, Penn State's offense shouldn't have problems scoring against West Virginia's defense. That is not a defense that will be anything near what they faced last year with Michigan or even Ohio State. And from what I remember last year in the West Virginia game, I mean, Penn State put up 30 points. They probably left some on the table, to be honest. They could have put up some more. So they should be confident. I think really, like anything else, if you can just start the game off, get an early lead, that's going to go a long way to making Penn State fans feeling comfortable about the direction of the game. Conversely, if West Virginia gets up early, you get that crowd engaged in the game, it could be a long day.
I concur. Hopefully we will see that fast start. All right, Steve, that is it. Final word, you have it 24-20, the Nittany Lions. Next week, we will talk about it, see if you got it right or if you're close. That's it for our show. Thank you all for listening. Be sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership, with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.